and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want to share a lesson entitled Lessons We Can Learn from Paul. Lessons we can learn from Paul. There are many lessons that we can learn from Paul, and I want to share some with you this evening. Maybe at another time I'll share even some more lessons that we can learn from the Apostle Paul. But as we know, the Apostle, he was a preacher and he was a teacher of the gospel. And he was the gospel, or rather the Apostle, who had been specifically sent to the Gentile world. Well, tonight, all of us may not be public preachers, and certainly none of us are an apostle. But all of us may not be public preachers. All of us may not be public teachers. But to some degree, all of us should be teachers. Paul's manner of sharing the good news with those whom he was sent should serve as an example to those of us who teach and preach in a public way, and also the principal concepts that we'll be sharing in this lesson can also be applied to every Christian's life as we strive to influence others with the gospel of Christ by the life in which we live. So there are some lessons then that we can learn from the apostle. I want to share quickly this evening about five lessons that we can learn from the apostle Paul. When we go back to the book of Romans, one thing that we learn about Paul that he says concerning himself, and this is a great lesson for us, in Romans 1 and verse number 16, we learn there that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel, as he defines it there, is God's power to save, and it will save everyone. The question perhaps that we should ask ourselves, why be ashamed of that which will save everyone? Why be ashamed of it? But Paul says, "I'm not ashamed," which would imply from his statement that there perhaps are some people that would be ashamed of the gospel. Later on, in just a little bit, I'll talk to you about what he said to Timothy, and he encourages Timothy to not be ashamed. So the possibility is there that people can be, and there are people, no doubt, that are ashamed of the gospel. You see, if one is ashamed of the gospel, he or she will not be able to share the gospel effectively with those that he come in contact with. You and I, then, should never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said something to him in that chapter, particularly down about verse 7 and 8, and just prior to verse 7 and 8, he says to Timothy, "I want you to stir up the gift that is in you." Stir that gift up, he says. I don't want you to let that gift lay or lie dormant in your life. Stir up the gift. Perhaps it's not known exactly what the gift was that he was specifying, but whatever this gift was, Paul says, "I want you to stir it up. I want you to use it. I want you to put it in action." Now, it's implied in the next verse that Timothy could have been plagued with fear. So he said to him in verse number 7, he says, "For this is the reason why I want you to stir up the gift. This is the reason why I want you to use the gift." He says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And then in verse number 8, he says, "Be therefore, or thou therefore," and we know what therefore means, for the reason that I've just stated to you, for the very reason that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but God has given you the spirit of power, he's given you the spirit of love, he's given you the spirit of a sound mind. So for this reason, he says, "Be thou therefore, or be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." What was the testimony of the Lord? That he died, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day morning, according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15 teaches us that. So the testimony of our Lord Jesus then is no more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul has said to the Roman church, "I'm not ashamed of the testimony. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So Timothy, I don't want you to be ashamed of the testimony of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only don't be ashamed of the testimony or the gospel, but he said, don't be ashamed of me. I'm his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." Well, when one is ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's very likely that one will not let his or her light shine very brightly. Because if we are ashamed of the gospel of Christ, if we are ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and Jesus Christ, we are a little bit timid of letting folks know that we are standing for Christ. And so we'll never be those bright and those shining lights that the Lord wants us to be. Well, I know the Lord wants us to be that because that's what he said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5. And verse number 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that set on the hill cannot be hid." And then verse 15, he says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." If one is ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he or she is not encouraged again to really let their light shine brightly. They'll find themselves trying to put it on a bushel. Don't want it to shine too brightly because they don't want them or other people to know that I am one of Christ's followers. So they try to live a quiet and an inconspicuous life, hoping that people will not find out that they are on the Lord's side. But we ought to be like Moses said to the people in Exodus 32, I believe it was, when he asked that question, "Who is on the Lord's side?" We ought to be glad, as he invited them, "Come over here with me." We ought to be glad to stay and admit that we are on the Lord's side. And therefore, we are willing then to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if we are ashamed, we're not going to do it. And one day, you know, we're going to want Christ to really own us and really say he knows us. And we certainly don't want him to be ashamed of us. But you know, he said this in Luke chapter 9 when he gave that condition for discipleship. He said this in Luke chapter 9 in verse 23. He says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And then he goes on and says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. For what is a man advantage or profited if he gain the whole world and lose himself?" And another gospel writer says, "and lose his soul, or be a castaway." And then verse number 26, he says this, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words." What is that? That's the gospel. Whosoever, he says, "that shall be ashamed of me and of my words of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. We don't want Christ to be ashamed of us. So if we don't want Christ to be ashamed of us, we must make sure that we are not ashamed of him. And so we learn this lesson from Paul, and we need to make it applicable to our lives. Let us never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let us never be ashamed of that which will save our souls. Let us never be ashamed of that which Christ did for us. Again, he did for us what we didn't deserve. So why would we be ashamed when he showed that love for us on the cross and gave his life a ransom for many? And we should be ambassadors, in a sense, for him as we share the good news of the gospel and as we teach and as we preach and as we live our lives, proclaiming in word and in deed and action the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a great lesson that we can learn from the Apostle Paul. Then there's a second lesson that we can learn from Paul. Paul taught with simplicity. He was a simple teacher. You see, there's nothing complicated about the gospel. The devil tried to persuade us to think and to believe that the gospel is complicated. There's nothing complicated about it. It's simple. It's one of simplicity. Again, when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2 and 3, he says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I feel lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, or through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from what? The simplicity that is in Christ." You notice what he says? He says, "I'm afraid that you will allow the serpent to beguile you, to trick you, to lead you astray from the simplicity that is in Christ." The serpent, that is the devil, will come along and try to persuade you to think that the gospel of Jesus Christ is complicated. To obey the will of God, to do the will of the master, is a complicated it's a complicated task. It's not complicated. It's a simple task for us to do. When the Lord said to Adam in the garden, "Out of every tree that sit in the garden, you may freely eat, except the one that sit in the midst. The day you eat of that," he said, "you should surely die." What's complicated about that? What is complicated? Nothing is complicated. That is about as simple as it could be. But then the devil came in and made it complicated. When he began to question her, and she told him what the Lord had said, then he says, now, he makes it complicated. You know, "Thou shalt not surely die." The Lord knows, you know, that you're going to become wise. And you're going to become one of the gods. He makes it complicated. Nothing complicated at all. She could tell, and Adam could tell, which tree sat in the midst. But the Satan, or the devil, made it complicated. You know, if I would say to all of you in here tonight, "I have a $100 bill that I'm going to give to the first person that get up out of his seat and get up here to me to get it." Is that complicated? That's not complicated at all. But the devil would come in, as it would be, and try to confuse you. But if I would say that, nobody would look around and say, "What did he say? I didn't understand what he said. What does it really mean?" You know what you'd do? You'd be knocking each other down, trying to be the first one to get up here. Why? Because I gave something that was very simple. That's what the Lord did through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He made it very simple, and he wants us to make it simple. He doesn't want us to make it complicated. It's an easy thing to obey. It becomes hard when we listen to Satan. But if we would just listen to the Lord, It's an easy thing. And so as we share the gospel with mankind, we need to keep it simple. And that's what Paul said. He did. He kept it simple. He taught so that people could understand what he taught. And he didn't use, as he says, enticing words of man's wisdom. You see, the Corinthian church, their background was that they came from a culture that just prided themselves on wisdom, man wisdom. And Paul says, when I came to you, I didn't use man wisdom. I didn't present the gospel to you using man's wisdom. Because if I had done that, that would have been a possibility that you would have put your trust and confidence in me rather than in the power of God. I'm paraphrasing what he said in verse number 5. So we need to keep it simple. You see, when we get out of sight of the realm of simplicity, we run the risk of people putting their faith and their confidence in the messenger rather than in the message. People need to put their confidence in the message because the messenger can mess up. But if you put your confidence in the right message, you know you're on safe ground. And so we need to share it with simplicity, share it so people can understand. Nothing wrong with eloquent speech, but that should not be our main goal, our main aim, to use enticing words and speaking with eloquent words to try to draw people with the gospel of Christ. Just let the gospel do the drawing. You know, I remember what Paul said. And this is talking about tongues, but I think a principle can be applied there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 18 and 19 there, he talked about the fact that he spoke with tongues more than they all. But he says, I'd rather speak with words that can be understood than to speak 5,000 unknown tongues or languages. What was Paul saying? Paul says, I want folks to understand what I'm saying. And that's what we need to be about the business of, making sure that people understand what the gospel is all about. So keep it simple so that people will not overshadow the messenger and forget the message. You know, many folks will get carried away with beautiful words. But sometimes beautiful words don't have the beautiful gospel in them. So we need to make sure that if we hear beautiful words, make sure that the beautiful words contain the beautiful gospel. And the gospel is beautiful. But make sure that the beautiful words coincide with the beautiful gospel. So if you're going to do that, all you need to do is just say what the Bible says. Don't try to flower it up. Just say what the Bible said. And that's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, he said, let him speak as the oracles of God. So Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, number one. Number two, he kept the message simple. Number three, he was consistent in his teaching. In other words, he had one gospel to share, and he shared that one gospel everywhere he went. He didn't change it up to suit the audience, but he preached and taught the very same thing every church that he went to. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. He says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul had a consistent message. He taught the same thing. You see, truth is always consistent with truth. It came from God. And God says concerning himself, Malachi chapter 1, chapter 3, rather, in verse number 6, that he does not change. The Hebrew writer said concerning Jesus Christ, who also is God, said he was the same yesterday, and he's the same today, and he's the same forever or tomorrow. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. So truth then will not change. So the message must not change. You may change the method, but don't change the message. But you know, sometimes people will be inconsistent in their teaching for fear sometime of rejection. Thus, they'll compromise it. Some people will not be consistent in their teaching because they lack politicians. They go to one crowd and they say one thing. They go to another crowd and they say another thing. But we must not try to be on man's side and appease man, but we need to always be on the Lord's side. And whatever crowd we're with, whatever group we're with, the message needs to be consistent. It needs to be the same. So Paul, then, he kept the message consistent. Something else about Paul. In Acts 20, verse 19, he says this. He served the Lord in humility. Listen to what he says. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which beheld me by the lying in weight of the Jews. Paul was a normal man. Even though he declared himself in Philippians chapter 3, he talked about the fact there that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, that he studied at Gamaliel. He talked about that when he was standing before the council in the book of Acts. Paul was an educated man, had all kinds of things going for him, but yet he was still an humble man because he knew that he was a fallible man. And that's one sign of humility, is to always remember that we are fallible. There's no room for bragging because all of us are in the same boat. We're all sinners. And we need to always remain humble in our teaching. Never think that we have arrived. We need to always keep striving. And so though you may be teaching a class, though you may be preaching a sermon, though you may be sharing the good news of the gospel with somebody else, even on a one-to-one basis, you need to always remain humble. That you are a child of God, not because of you, but you're a child of God because of what God did for you in your life. Always remain humble. So Paul says that he served the Lord with humility, with many tears. Oh, if we would just be humble people. He recognized that whatever he taught, it was not his own. It came from God. That's all we have to share with people. Not our own, but we share with people what God has done for us and what he has taught us in his holy book, the Bible. He recognized again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, he says, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me," he says, "is the Lord." It all came from the Lord, is what he said. Humility is as truly a servant spirit. And if we are going to be servants of the Lord, we got to always remain humble. I'm going to quit at this point, but I hope that these lessons might help us, might guide us along the way, to help us to be good soldiers, good servants in the kingdom of the Lord by being one like the Apostle Paul. Yes, again, all of us may not be public preachers, all of us may not be public teachers, but all of us are. That is, who are members of the body of Christ, we're public Christians. And so we need to share the gospel in our own way, our own method, that is, but again, using the very same message that Paul used, and that was the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God help us then to be what we can be, and all that the Lord wants us to be. We're thankful tonight, then, as we talk this morning about being thankful. We're thankful for good examples that we have in the Word of God that can serve us as role models for what and how we ought to be as we strive to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as I close tonight, if there's anyone among us who needs to surrender their lives to the Lord through obedience to the gospel. You can believe the gospel, repent of your past sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and then be buried in the water of the grave of baptism for the remission of sins. You do that, the Lord will add you to his church. That message needs to be shared, no matter where we are, who we're with. That's God's plan, one plan. And that message needs to continuously be shared, a consistent message of how people are saved from their sins. So if you need to come tonight, we encourage you to come. If you somehow have walked contrary to the will of God, though you already may be a member of the body of Christ, we encourage you to turn away from that. That's a consistent message. Remember what Jesus says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And he was talking to his disciples. He wasn't talking to the Gentiles, somebody who didn't know him. He was talking to folks that were following him. He says, except you repent,